Welcome to part two of our interview with Carl Santos about the haunted Dean House. To have a location like this, obviously with such a long history and kind of dotted, you know, here and there with tragedy, it's then hard to kind of start pinpointing what is haunting, why is it haunting? Any direction on that from your research as to, you know, obviously we have the talk of the smoke and the assumption that, oh, this is the man who used to sit by the window that was sitting there and smoking. Has there been any investigations into the property other than the accounts that people have from working there or using it as a setting?
Yeah. So there's obviously nowadays, I mean, you probably know better than anybody. There's paranormal groups all over the world.
Sure.
Every city's got them. And there is a group here in Calgary. I want to make sure I get the acronym correct, but it is the Calgary Association of Paranormal Investigators. So CAPI, C-A-P-I. And the guy who was the former executive director there, Colin Benger, claims they did lots of stuff there. They did lots of investigations. They did tours there. Ghost tours will all go through the city and stop it there. And these guys did some things there. The current owners, I don't know if they're super. I mean, they know their past and they play it up. Their Twitter account will occasionally make comments about it. But I don't know how much people are still going into it to do investigations. But this guy did in his group. And he's on record of saying it is definitely the most haunted location in the city, he thinks, as far as activity and things they've seen. He even claims that one of his investigators was slapped across the face by an unseen hand during an investigation. So there have been plenty of people going in and doing those sorts of investigations. And what they're hearing is a lot of, I mean, I'm in no way a paranormal guy in that regard. I'm a historian more than anything. But but a lot of what people are claiming is there's a lot of activity, a lot of residual activity. So, you know, guy rocking in a chair looking out the window, they feel is quite residual. The guy getting shot on the porch, they're feeling like they're seeing a lot of that sort of a thing. And it's interesting that the claims as well about what's going on there, so much of it is just people who work there, because it is working, you know, 24 hours a day. It's open all the time. It's a restaurant. And these investigators see plenty of things. They record lots of data. And I know people will question the data because it is, I mean, it's a science / pseudoscience, depending who you ask. So it is, you know, it's always a little subjective, but it's just so much that people are reporting from it, not just these groups going in, but the workers. There's accounts of people like, there's an old supervisor there who gave only her last name, Schneidmiller. And she says, you know, she used to hate working there alone because at night she would always hear the piano upstairs playing. And she would run up there thinking, oh no, we didn't do a proper sweep of the place and somebody's, you know, still upstairs. And of course she'd get outside the door, and as soon as she opened it, the music would stop. And she claims to have felt often a wind run by or hit by or push by her. Another guy, one of the managers, Robert, says he refused to work there by himself after night. He demanded they have two people closing because one night he was sitting there and his bag kind of moved off of the shelf and came over to him and dropped at his feet. And he felt like he was being asked to leave. So he was a bit terrified. And again, people hearing so, like, it's constant. In fact, when I was there for lunch, I joked with one of the waitresses and asked her. And she said, well, you know, we're not supposed to scare anybody, but there's lots of things that happen here that we don't quite understand. There's a phone on the wall that will ring, but it's a phone from the 19th century that is not connected. So it'll occasionally ring and people get terrified. And so there's just a lot of that going on. Throughout. And again, not too many paranormal groups going in at the moment, I don't think, because they are trying to make it a restaurant. They like to play up the past, but they are trying to keep a business going as well.
Sure.
Though it is interesting, September, so just a couple months ago, actually just after I visited, they had a flood, so they're actually closed until January, because they had a flood, and in the attic, a fire sprinkler broke and flooded the whole place. So now they've been renovating it. So it's interesting that it would happen in the attic, where they claim all these problems happened. And when I was there for lunch with my wife, I went to the washroom, and knowing that they probably wouldn't want me poking around, I just like a good story. So I went upstairs and tried to get up into the attic, but I was caught by somebody. So I didn't get to see it there. They said, no, you're not really welcome up there. So I have not certainly had anything happen to me there. It's not like I spend a ton of time there. But yeah, so that's some of the history. That's where we stand now. It's a great restaurant, really good food, and one of the top rated restaurants in the city. A great restaurateur bought it. And but yeah, they're trying to, it's funny, they'll leverage the past of the city, of the building, but they won't really dwell on it.
As far as people coming into this location, obviously as a restaurant now, do you feel, this is an opinion-based question, that the ghosts and the spirits that are there are taking advantage of that and doing things to be seen because now there's more of an audience than just someone who's living there, or is it being an art studio, people coming and going in very selective times? As a restaurant, you have a little more frequency of people visiting. Or are they frustrated with the amount of traffic that's coming and going from the building?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, obviously you're right. It is an opinion-based question. I'm not sure. I don't know. You know, I listen to the stories and it's difficult for me to figure out what's going on there because so much of it seems, I don't want to say random, but it doesn't feel to me in the stories that I've heard that there's any interaction. Like there, it seems like they're seeing things on a loop. Often there's very little where somebody is I guess where the guy had the bag come to his feet, but most of the times it's people sitting there and something happens around them, but it doesn't feel like it's happening to them. I mean, you even have a story of a guy who says he saw, you know, a truncated body. So a body with no legs just kind of float down the stairs and out the front door. So I don't know. I really couldn't tell you. It doesn't seem to me from what I've heard that there's a lot of interaction, except for the paranormal group that's gone in and said they were hit and slapped by something. But other than that, it almost seems like you just walked into somebody else's house. And when you walk into their house at Christmas, you're going to smell the turkey and the stuffing.
Yeah,
it feels like they're just going on about their business to me. There hasn't been, despite the fact that crazy murder happened in 71, most of the sightings are not of related to that. There's no gruesome scenes. Some people claim to have seen Roderick Umberville, the murderer and the suicide guy, in the basement. So I don't know what's going on there. Yeah. I really don't.
It's hard to know if it's a residual thing and things are playing themselves out over and over, completely unbeknownst to the living that are there, if there is something conscious, or maybe a mix of the two. When you started investigating, and I should say investigating as if you went in with, you know, ghost equipment, but more so researching more than anything else, researching this and digging into the history, I'm curious, what did you expect to find in that research, and were you surprised by anything as you dug into it?
You know, I mean, I shouldn't be surprised by some of it, but especially a guy, I'm doing my PhD here, so I'm kind of used to dealing with facts and data and lore especially. I was a little surprised at how much lore had developed around it. And this is the part that I think skeptics struggle with, because when you look at these sorts of buildings, yes, they have great history, but there's so much when you pop up and a lot of the websites, if you start looking at some, you know, ghost tour sites or something, of course they're going to make it sound like everything was terrible that happened there. But as you start to look into the records, you realize some of this stuff just isn't true, or it's at least questionable as far as some of the stuff that happened at the place. So I was surprised that in such a great, interesting history, the biggest, really the crux, the nadir, the low point maybe of the building happens in 71 with the Umberville murders. And I think for me, it was, despite the fact that there's such a long history, most of it I think seems to really be something happens at that point, at that murder, that seems to get things going. As far as, is it people's psyche? Does that now get people just thinking more and walking into the building and wondering and thinking, oh no, somebody was murdered here, and that gets their dander up and their nerves going? But that was, I think, surprising to me, is that with this great, interesting history, it's not until the 70s that people really started paying attention to it, and yet it really was a fascinating history before. And then I think another thing that surprised me a little bit was how willing the people who work at the Dean House today are to speak about it. I mean, they're not getting anything from it. Most of them don't give out their names, but just the continued reports of what they're experiencing, what guests are experiencing. That for me is interesting because again, I come into it as something of a skeptic. I'm a good Christian man, so I think there's something out there for sure. But the fact to see so many reports of not just similar things, but at different times and just the different corroborating reports are interesting. At some point, you have to look at it, even as a skeptic, and say, so what's going on here? Is it really that we're all just crazy? What's happening? And I think just the varied reports and the willingness to speak, even though in this culture you can actually be ostracized a bit for voicing opinions about the paranormal. So I think the willingness there was something else that stuck out to me.
That wraps up part two of our interview with Carl Santos about the haunted Dean House in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Thank you for being a supporter of our program, keeping us on the air, and listening to us every week. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.